me and Bill Don, we're compatriots here on this, because last time he said he got the call on Tuesday night. Well, I got the call on Tuesday night. So I'm scrambling. I'm looking for things. You know, I'm thinking about. First thing you do is you go back to things you've already done, right? That maybe nobody's heard before. I'm going back 20 years, you know, and I'm looking, I can't find nothing. I'm like, first I found some stuff, and I'm like, what? What was this, you know? So anyway, as I'm looking in my Bible, I came across Revelation 22:17. And you can turn there, or I'll just read it, because it's going to be just part of our text. We're going to have a lot of verses to go through. And it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Several places where I went ahead and looked at this, they were labeling this the last invitation. The last invitation. You know, and as we're looking at this song and as I'm searching, you know, the things to put together, and I have Christ, and I can say, you know, that God is teaching me a lot. He's teaching me how to be fixed upon his redeeming love. That he did everything with his precious blood. But you know, there's going to be a time when there's going to be the last invitation. Somebody's going to hear it for the last time. And if we have time, we'll come back to this. And so as I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going through some stuff, it came to my mind as I'm reading this, that prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How a great a debtor that God is looking, God is searching. I'm thinking about how Christ is the light. He is the lighthouse. And think about this, if you've seen the lighthouse, how that light is penetrating the darkness. It's searching, you know, it's out there. And that's what the searching love of Christ. And we're going to turn to a text that you're so familiar with, and you've probably heard this 100 times, probably taught 75 different ways. But I want you to turn to Luke 15. Yes, the prodigal son. And I read one deal, said, well, maybe it should be read something about the father's love. But we want to read, start with, first I got to get in the right book. I'm trying to act very composed up here, by the way, too. Let's see here, Luke 15. Okay, we got this man who's got these two sons, and in verse 11 it says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that have falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself," see, that's a biblical verse, and I know you've heard this before, that you teenagers lose their mind, okay? That's, you know, you've heard Isaac say it, well, there's the verse, when he came to himself, okay? How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. and am no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But his father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And jump over to 32. He says, For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There's some things here. Luke, back to verse 12. First, we have to decide here that this man, he did have two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. This young man had self-will. He had the opportunity to decide. He had the choice to stay, you know, to be with the family, to help and do all the things like that. But he had the choices, and in the verses here, I kind of call this self-will. And, you know, every time we go out and we hand out a tract or we witness to somebody or we talk to our grandchildren or our children about the Lord, we got to remember they have self-will. We're just talking, you know, people have self-will. This man had self-will. Secondly, not many days after, okay, first he divided the goods. Okay, now the boy's sitting there and he's got all of his stuff. Okay, and it didn't take very long. It says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he took off. He was selfish. He was selfish here. You know, he could have stayed there and helped keep the farm going and everything that the father had built up. And what I'm thinking, we went to Branson last week, and some people from Illinois were sitting behind us at the Moses play, and we got to talking, and he was a retired dairy farmer, and it was his father's dairy farm, but I guess nobody in the family wanted to keep it because he had to sell it, and so they were out, you know. And I was just thinking about that when I read this, that this boy, he took his money and he headed out. And it says he went into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he separated himself. You know, a lot of times when we don't want to be close to the Lord, and we don't want to be around God's people or anything to do with the Lord, we exercise our self-will. We get really selfish. Then what happens next to people? They start separating themselves, do they not? They start saying, well, they're not going to hang around with, you know, with people that have Christian morals or Christian standards. They don't want to, you know, talk to them people. They don't want to hang around with them people. And in a way, I kind of thought about what Ryan brought Saturday, you know, about that drifting away. You know, sometimes it's not something major. A lot of times it can just start happening and they start separating themselves. You leave God. It's how people, you know, start justifying things in their own eyes too. And because they separate themselves, they own their own mind, you know, and I know that some of you have heard that. So in verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land when he began to want. And when he had joined himself to a citizen of that country, he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You got to remember, it's a little Jewish boy. He now is giving up his faith. Think about it. He's Jewish, and he's going to go, and he's going to, you know, feed the swine. He's going to be in the field with the swine. Not only that, he has fell in, and you've heard this before, he has fell into the pig pen. He has gone about as far as he can go. And then the famine hit, and he got hungry. Starvation. Not only was he starved physically, but he was starved spiritually. He got so far down, he lost sight of who he was. So at starvation, I've got right now here the turning point. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee." If you'll turn back in my Bible, it's a page or two, to 15:7. I've got written here from a message, and I didn't write down who gave the message, but it said, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." And the title of the message was, "Heaven Stops and Notices." When somebody is saved, when somebody accepts Christ, when somebody sees that light, goes to that light, isn't it amazing? I mean, really think about it. Heaven stops and notices. "Likewise, ye shall be rejoiced over one sinner that repenteth." I think that's absolutely amazing. It tells a great story about our Lord and about the love and the grace of God. So then we have the realization in verse 17. He realizes. He came to himself. 18, "I will arise and go to my father." He has some resolve. He's going to go. He's going to do something. He repents. In verse 20, he returns. "He arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he was reconciled. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But his father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoot on his feet." And then there was rejoicing, 23 and 24. "Kill the fatted calf, let us eat, be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. You know, like I said, there's 100, there's 75, there's different ways that people have taught Luke 15. But what I want to do now is to focus on the ring. Okay? And we're going to put some jewels in this ring. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, and our first jewel, the boy has come to his senses. He's repented. He's returned home. He's received salvation. He's received the Father's love. He's received this ring. And the first jewel of this ring is peace. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had big old mess of hogs, I guess is what you call them when we was growing up. And they was up on a field away from the house, thank goodness. And it seemed though, no matter how hard you tried, you always got dirty. You know, when you went up there to feed them. You know, you get ready for school. Maybe you should have got the head, you know, the hogs fed and then got ready for school. But anyway, you get ready for school, go up to slop the hogs, you know. And it didn't, I don't care how hard you tried, it seemed like you always got mud on you, slop on you. You know, it's usually wet in the mornings. You always got something on you, you know. And you know this boy, when he was down in the pig pen, he didn't have any peace. He didn't have a lick of peace. He was suffering. He was miserable. You know, I've been pretty far down. I don't know if I've been all the way in the pig pen, but I guarantee I've had a foot in it. Some of you know people that, I know some folks now that's in the pig pen. I mean, they're all the way in. And they need to look up, look at that light, look at that lighthouse. But you know, when this boy went home and he's walking, sorry. And his father sees him. You know? And his father gave him the grace. You know, I bet you that boy had peace. He had a jewel in that ring, and it was peace. The second one, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. That second jewel is access. We can go to our Lord anytime, anywhere. We have access. We have access to the throne of grace. We have access to God. We have access to the creator of the universe. We have access to our Savior. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? The third jewel. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The third one is joy. We glory in our troubles because we know that Christ is King. That was number four. Number three is joy. Number four is the glory. Number five is patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Because we have the hope of the future. And the eighth ring, or the eighth jewel in the ring, is love. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And it goes on, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the eighth jewel is love. There's peace. There's access. There's the joy in Christ. There's the glory in our trials. Life is hard. Life can be tough. But we glory in the Lord, which creates patience. We have hope and the experience of love. We have love through the blood of Christ. And then we go back where? Keeping that light shining. But we go back to Revelation, the last invitation. There will be a last invitation. And that's all I've got. Anybody? You want to sing a song before we go? Roger?